Well, praise God. If you only came for the baby dedication, you missed the opportunity to leave because we've already locked the doors. They locked about 5 minutes ago, so you can't leave. So you just got to stick around for a few more minutes, and those doors will open for you. Praise the Lord. Of course, we're just joking, but we're excited that you're here tonight. We're excited to be here tonight. We have a message from heaven. How do I know we have a message from heaven? Well, the Lord told me. He came down to my room. He sat with there and talked with me and said, Pastor Jeff, this is the message that I want you to preach. I'm just kidding. He didn't quite do that. But we do have a direction from the Lord, I believe. And we believe that God has many things for us today. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So, you know, we're excited for all God's doing. Of course, we're excited for what God's doing in Family Church and in the families that are connected to the church. Amen. And God is doing some wonderful things. We have a church full of people whose lives have been changed. All to the glory of God, not to the glory of man. Hallelujah. But I'm thankful that I get to minister His word tonight as we have come together. Amen. And tonight I'm going to be preaching a message called Entering Salvation Daily. Praise the Lord. Entering Salvation Daily. You know, most of Christianity treats salvation if it's just for death. Most Christians look at salvation, they view salvation in light of only being for when you die, that you get to go to heaven. And salvation, of course, a big part of it is going to heaven. So we're excited about that. He's excited for the opportunity to be able to receive Jesus and to be able to be guaranteed an entrance into heaven. Amen? But salvation isn't just about that. But you see, this is where we get a lot of songs. We get songs singing about the sweet by and by. Hallelujah. And the songs are always looking and people singing about the future and always thinking about the future. But the thing that a lot of people don't realize, is that salvation isn't just for a future time. Salvation is for us to live in daily. Salvation is something we're supposed to walk this Christian life out daily. We're not supposed to just wait until we die to experience Jesus, but we're supposed to experience Jesus on the earth. And how do we know this? Well, because He told us, praise the Lord. Biblical salvation literally means, if you look up wherever you see the word salvation in the Bible, this is literally what that word salvation means. It means deliverance. I love this next word, preservation. The word salvation means preservation, be preserved. Well, you don't need to be preserved when you die because you get a glorified body. If you go to heaven, you get a glorified body, and you're just eternally preserved. But this preservation is for now, hallelujah. It means safety. It means salvation. It means you're saved from the troubles, the trials. Jesus Himself said, He said, you know, in the world you will have tribulation, but He said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Now, this is a scripture that many of us know, but this is a scripture that many of us think about or that we always dwell on. See, Jesus overcoming the world doesn't mean that he's overcome it, so you just got to look at what He's done. It means He's overcome it for us, so we can live as overcomers. The Bible says that we are more than conquerors through Christ. Amen? More than conquerors. Well, what does that mean? It doesn't mean that we're more than conquerors just when we die. That wouldn't make any sense. It means we're more than conquerors today. As we walk out life today, we're more than conquerors. We're saved. God, Jesus has paid the price. But see, so many times people just focus on what their ability is. They focus on what they can do. And when people focus on what they can do, then they only see what they can do. And a lot of times that's just not enough. In fact, most times that's not enough. In fact, if you try to just live your life your own way, you're going to find out sooner or later that you just can't do it well enough by yourself. You're going to find there's going to be a point, there's always a reckoning time for everybody. Everybody, every human that ever walks the earth, there's a time where they're faced with a choice of following God or not following God. And it's easy, you know, it's easy not to follow God. It's easy to forget about God sometimes because we just live our lives and we get distracted by this and that. And we see things over here and we see things over there. And like squirrels, we're running around all over the place and we got to do this and we got to do that. But see, the Lord has a plan for us. He has something for us to walk out. He has something for us. And in that plan is blessing. In that plan is hope. We bring up Jeremiah 29:11 all the time. And God tells us right there that His plans, His purposes for us are not of pain and sorrow or trouble, but it's of hope. It's of salvation. Jesus didn't die. The Bible says that God gave us Jesus. How will He not with Him give us all things? All things. What does that mean? All things, in another scripture, talks about all things that pertain to life and godliness. Praise the Lord. All things that we would ever need, Jesus has already provided it all. And see, we're supposed to enter the salvation daily. We're supposed to live in the salvation daily. We're supposed to wake up every morning with a renewed mind, knowing that Jesus has paid the price so that we could, so we don't have to be defeated anymore, so we don't have to be lost anymore, so we can have direction. And folks, I'm talking to you as a person who knows. There was a time in my life where I lived a life that was so full of depression, that was full of drug abuse, that was full of all kinds of fornicating, that was full of all kinds of evil and perverse things. And I was lost and I was hurting. I was broken and I was defeated. And I went to church. Oh, I was raised in a church. See, but I wasn't raised in a church that taught me the word, and that was the difference. I wasn't raised in a place that told me the word of God. And see, there wasn't people that stood on the word of God surrounding me all the time. And that's the difference. See, it wasn't until I got to a place that would teach me the word, that would show me the word, that would open the word, the truth of the word to me, my life would not change. I woke up every single day in the same mess. There was times when I would sit on the side of my bed with a shotgun in my mouth because I just wanted the pain in my head to stop. Now, folks, this is real. This is a real life. This is a real life that I lived, and I couldn't escape it. No doctor could take me out of it. No Christian could talk me out of it. No amount of good thinking got me out of it. It was the Word of God that changed my life. Hallelujah. And the Word of God, it's that same Word of God that teaches us about salvation. That same Word of God that teaches us how to live the way that Jesus intended us to live. Why don't you turn with me to John 10 and verse 7. We're going to start right there. Praise the Lord. John 10 verse 7. Glory to God. And if you didn't bring your Bibles, that's okay. We have it up here. John 10 verse 7 starts off, and we're going to read through verse 10. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved." But the scripture doesn't stop there. Doesn't stop there. It goes on to say, and will go out. That person who enters by him will go in and out and find pasture. They're going to go in and out, and they're going to find pasture, praise the Lord. In the Amplified, I want to pull this up right here. Jesus said, "I am the door. Anyone who enters in through me will be saved, will live. He will come in, and he will go out freely, and will find pasture." You know, we have scriptures that a lot of us may know. If we've been raised in any kind of church, you know Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I shall not want. And some people, I remember some people actually thinking that scripture meant that I shall not want him. But that's not what it's saying. That's the old English, the King Jimmy version of saying, "I shall not lack." That is a scripture. That's a scripture that we see all over the place that so many of us know. But what does that mean? "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. I shall not lack." What is that talking about? Is that talking about finances? Maybe. Is that talking about, you know, you're right. Is it just talking about? No, it's talking about anything. It talks about, "What shall we not lack?" Anything that we follow the Lord on. Anything that we will follow God on. Anytime we will follow the Lord, he will lead us into a place of not lacking. He leads me to green pastures and still waters. That is a representation. It's the same thing that Jesus is saying here. Anyone, he will come in and out. He will go, he'll come in and he will go out freely and will find pasture. The representation of us being sheep and being led to pasture is about us being led to a place where our needs are met. Why would Jesus, being a great shepherd, lead us to a pasture that's a desert? He wouldn't. But so many people think that he would. And see, the difference is knowing what Jesus actually paid for and what he was actually doing. This salvation is referring to the side of salvation for this life. He's saying go in and out. You don't go in and out of heaven, do you? How many people you know going in and out of heaven? Right? We haven't seen many people go in and out of heaven. Maybe a few, but we haven't seen a ton of people doing it. No, he's talking about anyone. He said anyone there. It doesn't mean that we're going to go in and out of heaven. It means that we're going to go in and out of pasture. We'll be able to get into that pasture now in this life. I said in this life, glory to God. We're not waiting for some sweet by and by. We're waiting for salvation. After that, we don't wait no more. There's a reason when people get connected to the Word. There's a reason when people get connected to a place that teaches the Word. There's a reason that lives start changing. There's a reason that you see a difference in them. It isn't because of a minister. It isn't because of a church building. It isn't because of a denomination. Because Jesus never said, separate yourself into this denomination, that denomination. Am I saying it's wrong to be in a denomination? Certainly not. You have to be where God's led you to be. But we don't hold so strongly to a tradition or a religion that we reject the word of God, that we would refuse the word of God, what God said, who started this whole thing anyways, so we would hold to our tradition just to reject what he said. But that's not what God has intended for us now, is it? Praise the Lord. Going on in those scriptures, staying in John 10:10, verse 10 says, I love this scripture because the scripture brings it so to light. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. The thief, you notice it's not capitalized, Jesus wasn't the thief. Notice it's not capitalized, God wasn't the thief. God is not the one who's killing. God is not the one who's stealing. And God is not the one who's destroying. If that's what you're not believing the word. Because the word says it. God is not the one destroying and removing from people. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Well, why does he say may have it? Because he might give it to you? Because Jesus might, you know, if you're good enough, oh, if you pray enough, if you, oh, glory to God, if you just, if you get on your knees, if you did right this week just enough, if you just got there, praise the Lord, if you just made that mark, you may have life and you may have it more abundantly. No, this is talking about people who actually decide to follow the Lord. This is ones who decide to set their hearts in God and let nothing else stop them. Praise the Lord. This is the one who had their eyes on Jesus, just like Peter. When he had his eyes on Jesus, walked on water. I said the Bible says that Peter walked on water. God said that Peter walked on water. Praise the Lord. When his eyes were on Jesus. But as soon as he started looking at the storm, as soon as he started looking at everything else, as soon as he started getting distracted by what was going on in life, hallelujah, what did Peter do? Peter sank, and he sank quickly. But what happened? And I just love the grace of our Lord. Even though Peter's lack of faith caused him to sink, when he cried out to the Lord, he was right there to take him back up. He didn't let him drown. And so that's why we don't believe that Jesus would let us drown, because if he did it for Peter, we know he'll do it for us. Because God is not a respecter of persons. He is not one who said, well, I love one of my sheep more than the other. Praise the Lord. We're talking about entering salvation daily. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly, that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. What does abundant life mean to you? What does it mean? Some people would just be happy. They'd say, I'd just be happy with my needs met. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those things, those what? Those needed things, all those things that you could have wanted, all those things you could have needed, all those things will be provided for you. You will have them. He will put them on you. We don't even have to pray for it. He said they will just be there. The Lord said it, not me. I said the Lord said it, not me. Hallelujah. I see, but the difference is do we believe the word or do we believe our ideals? Do we believe what we want? Do we just believe what sounds right to us? Or do we believe what God actually said? Because see, this is the thing. We have a whole book with a New Testament and Old Testament full of God telling us everything that belongs to us. He tells us example after example of what he wants to lead his people into, and it's never destruction. It's always the blessing of the Lord. He said, I'm going to lead you into a land flowing with milk and honey. And they saw the opposition. And they said, oh, no, Lord, we can't go there. We can't go there except for two who stood in faith. And these were given to us, the Bible says, for our example. So we can look back and see what they did and not do that. But look what the ones who did right and do that. See, the difference is those who choose the word. Those are the difference are those who choose God to say, hey, I'm going to go on with God no matter what it takes. I'm going to do what God says no matter what it takes. I'm going to go with the Bible says no matter what it takes. I'm not going to give up no matter what my faith is, my religion says, no matter what my friends say, no matter what Great Aunt Sally said. Praise God. You know, I use examples of Great Aunt Sally all the time. I can't wait to meet her. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I know we got a Great Aunt Sally out there. Hallelujah. If there's one here, I apologize. You know, sometimes, and I'm sorry about the water, but you know, sometimes I just preach myself dry. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill and destroy. The thief does not come except to steal, kill and destroy. Praise the Lord. But Jesus came that we can have life, and not just have life, have it more abundantly. Have it more abundantly. And you may sit there and say, well, Pastor, that's just for the sweet by and by. Then you don't read Scripture. Or if you do, you don't believe it. Because it's not just for the sweet by and by. Jesus talks about over and over and over again. Now, I am not promoting the idea that just because you serve God, you will become so wealthy that you can't stand it and nobody else can either. I am not promoting the idea that God just means gold, whatever. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about a full supply to do everything that God has led us into. Why do I keep looking back to there? There was Jeremiah 29:11 back there on the wall if you didn't see it. So that's what I'm pointing at. And if you don't believe me, there's just an angel standing back there. It's a joke. Praise the Lord. Well, there might be. I don't know. Glory to God. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. Praise the Lord. God is so good, isn't he? Turn with me to Deuteronomy 28, 1, verse 1. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. You say, oh, Pastor Jeff, now you're going to that Old Testament. That Old Testament don't apply to us no more. Well, where do you find that in Scripture? I guess the law don't apply to you anymore, but the blessings of the Lord. He said that we have everything they had and more. I said that we have a better covenant based on better promises. The Lord tells us that, right? Doesn't the Word say that? Better covenant based on better promises? Well, how is it going to be better if it's not better than what they had? So we can at least look at how good they had it and say, we got it better. Yeah. I said, we can at least look at see what they had and say, we got it better. Amen. Hallelujah. I want it better. Yeah. Amen. Those Jews, they had it good. Yeah. I said, the Jews had it good. All they had to do is be obedient. Yeah. Christians got it better. All they got to do is be obedient. Yeah. I said, yeah, oh, praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 28:1. Now it shall come to pass. Hallelujah. Now everybody say this with me. It shall come to pass. One more time. It shall come to pass. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. I wish I was a black preacher right now. Because I heard a black preacher preaching about this, and man, he brought it out just so much better. Hallelujah. I don't mean that in disrespect. He did. I love black preachers. Glory to God. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. Praise God. That's pretty good, but it don't stop there. Hallelujah. Verse 2, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you would obey the voice of the Lord your God. All these blessings. Now, up to verse 14, it tells us all about these blessings. We're going to read one of them because it's going to harken back to something we just saw. And go down to verse 6, and it says, blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Praise the Lord. I want to go back there and just read that to you one more time. I am the door, John 10:9. If anyone enters by me, he shall be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Deuteronomy 28:6, blessed shall you be when you go in, when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. What's going in and coming out signifying? It means anywhere you go. If you're not in, you're out. If you're not out, you're in. Praise the Lord. It doesn't matter where you go. See, when we obey the voice of our Lord, when we follow the commandments of our God, when we set our hearts on the Lord Jesus Christ, hallelujah, what does he do? He blesses us coming in. He blesses us coming out. He blesses us when we're up. He blesses us when we're down. He blesses us in Mayville. He blesses us in Jamestown. He blesses us in Fredonia. Praise the Lord. He'll bless you anywhere you go. The blessing of the Lord will be so thick on you that people look at you and say, man, he's blessed. Man, she's blessed. Glory to God. And see, this brings glory to our Lord when we walk in his blessing. And his blessing is not always, again, it's not always just riches or whatever, but it's how about the peace of God? You read in Galatians 5 around the 23rd verse, and it talks about the fruits of the Spirit, of following the Spirit, the fruits that will come upon you. Those are love, joy, peace, all these things that are wonderful. Self-control. Praise the Lord. Addicts need to know about the Spirit of God, because if they learn about self-control, they learn that the Lord wants to put that in them, and he'll actually do that. Guess what happens? That's how you get it under control, folks. That's how you stop doing what you were doing before. That's how you stop sinning so bad, is that you start looking to the Lord. That's how you stop getting into that curse like living. You start looking to the Lord. Yeah. Praise God. And you start walking that stuff out. Amen. Yeah. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Glory to God. It shall come to pass. Then I'm going to be blessed when I come in, and I'm going to be blessed when I go out. It shall come to pass when I obey the voice of my Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. God is doing some wonderful things in us. He's doing some wonderful things through us. And see, this is what the church has lost sight of, is that the reason God wants the church blessed and not knocked down and defeated is because the church has something to do. And that's called go out there and reach a lost and dying world. Yes. The things the church is supposed to do is go out there and show them who God is. God, Jesus didn't stay. He knew that he was going. Now, Jesus could have preached this message better than any of us could. He could have stood here and told you these things better. In fact, he did. But Jesus wasn't going to stay. He didn't need to stay, and I don't want to stay. That's essentially what he was saying. He said, if I don't leave, I can't send the Holy Spirit. What was the job of the Holy Spirit? Does anyone know? The job of the Holy Spirit was to come, live on the inside of us, and guide us into all truth. It was to remind us of everything that the Lord Jesus said. It was to stir us up when we were down. It was to get us the direction we needed to go. The Holy Spirit was to enable us to do the work of the Lord here on the earth, because God was, he said, I can do a little bit. But he said, you're going to do a lot more. Hallelujah. He said, you'll do so much more than I did. The things that I do, praise the Lord, you'll do them, and greater ones will you do. Didn't he say that? Hallelujah. Did we forget that? No. See, the Lord had the Great Commission. We all, almost every church that has a cross on the door goes by the Great Commission to go out into the world and preach the gospel to all creatures. And yet they forget what the gospel is saying. And I'm not saying that every church is bad or anything like that. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that it's high time that Christians start remembering who they are and stop. You know why churches are dying? Because they stop preaching the word. See, you ain't got to compromise the word to grow your church. All you got to do is show people the power of God. That will grow your church. The reason the youth don't want to grow up in church is because they look at their parents and they think it's all a joke. They see it as a joke. Yes, because they don't know what the living God is all about. We are told we have a living God, one who isn't dead anymore. He wasn't left in hell. He was raised from the dead, hallelujah, and placed at the right hand of the Father. And he said that we are seated in heavenly places with Christ. I'm going to tell you right now, he didn't seat us there to look down at the world and say, oh, you're lost and dying, too bad for you. No, he said, go out into the world and preach the gospel to every creature and preach it with the same boldness that I did, hallelujah. Oh, see, some people get stirred up. They hear a preacher like me. They hear somebody talking like me. They say, man, I even got told recently. I'm like, man, Pastor, you're a little too loud. A little bit too loud. Well, praise the Lord. Do you know what Jesus was like? Jesus wasn't this mild-mannered man walking around, you know, floating on flowers that the Mormons like to portray. That wasn't the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus of the Bible flipped temple tables over and cracked whips and said, serve God. Serve God. Stop sinning. Glory to God. He yelled. He got excited. Praise the Lord. This is the God we serve. God isn't afraid. He said, be angry, but don't sin. Praise the Lord. What do you get angry at? You'll get angry at everybody else. Just get angry at sin. You get angry at the devil. Let the devil stir you up if you can't stir yourself up. Just get sick and tired of what the devil's trying to pull on you and your friends and your family. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We got awesome testimonies. I said, we got awesome. We were just reading one tonight about our dear sister Cindy over here. Someday soon, I'm going to get with her, and so I can give the full account of it. And our brother John back there, healed of cancer, both of these people. Praise the Lord. Why? Because God doesn't want his people sick and dead. You can't do any work for God when you're sick and dead. And you say, well, I don't believe that. Fine, don't believe that, but don't have it. They did. And they have it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Freedom, freedom, freedom. I love freedom. I was a person who could barely live without medication, couldn't live without medication, and certainly couldn't live without having doctors and everybody watching my head all the time because of the stuff that I wanted to do to myself and others. Praise the Lord. There was a time when I had every cop in Chautauqua County looking for me because I was considered highly unstable, and some of you may think I'm still unstable, but but I was considered, I can at least control myself now. I'm not driving around with a loaded gun in my car trying to, like, blow somebody away. But that was my life at one point in time, glory to God. But see, God wasn't okay with that, staying that way. God pulled me up out of that mess. He said, now I'm going to put you in front of people, which scared the bejesus out of me. Hallelujah. I don't know what the bejesus is. I hope it's not a bad thing, but I just remember here. I know Jesus is a good thing. I don't know what the bejesus is. I don't know. But if bejesus is bad, it scared it out of me. Hallelujah. I ain't got it no more. I ain't got the bejesus. I got the Jesus. Hallelujah. Woo, glory. Praise God. Hallelujah. John 14, 23. Praise the Lord. Ah, glory to God. John 14, 23. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to me and make our home with him. God wants to live in you. See, this is another reason Jesus had to go, because Jesus, when as long as he was here, God didn't live in people. See, that's what people don't understand, is a lot of times we look back and we forget the people pre-Jesus didn't have the Spirit of God living on the inside of them. I just get a sense that every time I say that word, Spirit of God, it bothers somebody. Praise the Lord. And I just want to tell you, Jesus talked more about the Spirit than anybody. So if the Spirit of God bothers you, then you got a problem. You need to get fixed. Hallelujah. You need to get the Word in you. Because Jesus had a lot to say about the Spirit of God and His purpose, what He was going to do, and what He was going to do in us. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. They want to make our home. We will come to Him and make our home with Him. He who does not love me does not what? Keep my words. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. And everything that I told you, it wasn't even my idea. He said it was the Father's idea. He who loves me keeps my words. We got people all the time saying they love Jesus. They don't do one stinking thing he said. They don't even try. I said they don't even try. Sometimes you can convince people and try to convince people it's important enough just to go to church, and they say they want to pray. Listen, you can't pray to Jesus that you don't care about. You sit there and say you love Jesus, and then you reject Jesus day in and day out, and then you keep going back and say, hey, I want some of what he's got. They drop down on their knees and hope, but see, there's something better. And I used to pray like that. I used to be like that. I used to be somebody who was a wishy-washy Christian. I would say I was a Christian and I had faith, but then I went and lived like the devil. Hallelujah. It wasn't the will of God, certainly. And then every single time something bad happened, I'd get down on my knees and say, why, Lord, why did you do this to me? See, this is what Christians do. They get all wrapped up in their own sin, and they don't realize why they don't have God working in their life. And then they try to pray to God, expecting they're going to get answers, and he can't even do it because they separate themselves from him through sin. See, God can't listen to the world. It's not even that he doesn't want to. God is not sending people to hell. People are taking themselves there. They're already on that path. When you're born into sin and you're on your way to hell. Without Jesus, you would just go to hell. All of us would. There was no choice. If you even look in the Bible, if you study things out in the Bible, you will even see that people before Jesus could not go to heaven. Even the wonderful ones like Moses. Everybody thinks Moses. Anyone doesn't think Moses was good? I think everybody agrees that Moses was pretty decent. Yeah. They went to a place called paradise, Abraham's bosom. And Jesus went there after he died. Jesus went to hell after he died. The Bible says so, not me. This is what Jesus did for those 3 days. This is what Jesus did when he was not on earth anymore. His spirit didn't shoot right up to heaven. Praise the Lord. Where was I? 24, praise God. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Verse 25, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the helper, what is he talking about here? The helper. Who is that helper? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Who? The helper. The helper. The Holy Spirit. The helper. A lot of people don't even understand what the Holy Spirit is. You talk about the Holy Spirit, they think you're weird and goofy. He said the helper, the Holy Spirit, the one who helps you, the helper. The one who helps, that's what a helper does, right? A helper is one who helps. Aren't you glad anyone else, is anyone don't like helpers? Praise the Lord. When you're doing stuff, it's nice to have helpers. I built things, I've done a lot of construction projects in my life. I'd much rather do construction projects with helpers than without helpers, especially helpers that know what they're doing. How many think that the Holy Spirit, God helper, knows what he's doing? You see, this is the greatest thing about him. He knows better than you do what you got to do. He's like he's up there looking down, and he's saying, oh, this is what you need. This is how I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you get to where you need to go. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. The helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. Everybody say all things. You know what all things includes? All things. There's nothing excluded from all things. All things is all things. Oh, God works in mysterious ways. Oh, Jesus, you love, if you've been here any length of time, you know that I love this saying. God works in mysterious ways. No, he doesn't. No, he only is mysterious to fools who won't listen to his word. Yeah, because God says, I sent a helper to teach you all things. And see, you won't even look at any of that. You won't even hear about any of that. And then you're going around and you wonder why you're bumping into walls in the dark, because you're walking in darkness. You ain't walking in light. Walking in light is walking in light of the word. Amen. The word is what is a lamp unto our feet. It's the one that guides our paths, right? That's the light. That's the only Jesus was the word. Jesus is the light. Praise the Lord. We're told that the light came into the world and men didn't love light. They loved darkness instead. And so they have what darkness produces. If they want the light, if you want the light in your life, if you want to know what to do, see people, there's so many people that needlessly, I see so many people, Christians included, that live lives that are miserable, that are defeated, that are broken, that are without any guidance. And the whole time Jesus said, I paid for it here, 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 and here, and here. I paid for it all for you. I provided the way. I provided the answer. And yet you reject what I say. Praise the Lord. I forgot where I was again. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Why would he bring remembrance all things that Jesus said? Because the word is truth and the word is what sets us free. And so when we connect with God and we connect with his word, it sets us free. And so the Holy Spirit doesn't tell us what Uncle Al is doing. It doesn't tell us what the church down the road is doing. The Holy Spirit tells us what he is doing, what he wants to do. The Holy Spirit reveals things to us. The Holy Spirit opens the doors. He opens the path. He says, here, go down this road, Jeff. Praise the Lord. And I go down there. Hey, that worked. I don't know how it happened with the Holy Spirit. See, I tried living life apart from the Lord. I tried it, and it was pain and misery. And many of you know exactly what I'm talking about. I lived a life that was not following God, that was so far off the path. But see, there's only one way. I'm going to tell you, you keep going down that road because it's more fun. Or you go keep going down that road because maybe it's easier in the moment. But I'm going to tell you, there's going to be a day when it's not easier. There's going to be a day when you're going to wish that you had turned, because the Lord is doing something. See, that's another thing. You know, a lot of people think that we serve this God that is just this like Santa Claus type God that we can't see, we can't feel, we can't touch. I don't think anybody in here still believes in Santa Claus, do they? If you do, well, you just found out he ain't real anymore. I'm sorry. They're all, you don't still believe, do you? No, praise the Lord. I know Sophia don't believe. I know Ezra doesn't. She told people, got me in trouble. Yep, she remember that. Praise the Lord. But see, so many people think that we believe in this Santa Claus God that just, you know, that well, he's up there, out there somewhere, and there's never any interaction with him. There's never any presence with God. Praise the Lord. Where's Marky? Oh, there he is. You don't still believe, right? No, I think so. But they think that this is just this mumbo jumbo that we believe. This is just this stuff, this outdated archaic religion that we hold to. This is what the youth think about our church. I got to preach in front of a whole bunch of youth in a Christian school, mind you. This was great, and I could tell about three quarters of them had zero faith in God. They wanted nothing to do with God, and they're in a Christian school. I could tell it. I could see it all over them. Because they weren't interested in a word that we were saying. They weren't interested in praying. Why do you think that happens? Because people don't stir them up. They don't teach them about the living God. Most parents are just going around thinking they're trying to figure their own lives out instead of just being figured out and following after God and doing what he said. Instead of showing their kids what victory looks like every day. And this is no kind of name. Maybe you raised kids and you didn't raise them right. Well, praise the Lord. You know, if you didn't know, you didn't know. But it's time that we know, and it's time that somebody starts preaching it, amen? Yeah. He will teach you all things. See, salvation is something that we have to enter daily. We have to enter it by choice. We have to decide, am I going on with God or am I not? Praise the Lord. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I was a Christian. I had no idea what peace was. I had no idea what peace was. You know, when I put that gun in my mouth, I was born again believer in Christ. When I started stringing myself up with a toe strap one night, I was a born again believer in Christ. When I was pumping drugs into my body, when I was out fornicating, I was a born again believer in Christ, doing all the things that lead to death. And I looked to God and said, "Why, God? Why, God?" And he said, "There's my word. There's my word." See, it wasn't until somebody would preach the word boldly to me, somebody would open my eyes to see what the truth of the word was, that I could change anything. I was a hopeless case. Praise the Lord. Because there was no Lord in it. I was a hopeless case, even though I confessed Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I lived like the devil. And so I had what the devil had to give. And I was full of it. Praise the Lord. Philippians 2:12. Praise God. Hallelujah. Philippians 2:12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Again, that word fear is not talking about being afraid of God. It's talking about being reverent, understanding that there is truths that we have to follow. It's understanding, being reverent towards the things of God. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. God wants to work in us to do for his good pleasure. But so many people just live their lives for themselves. They don't seek God on what church should I go to. They don't seek God on what path should I lead. What job should I go? What house should I buy? What car should I buy? Praise the Lord. I've done all that stuff without the Lord, and I've done it with the Lord. And I'm going to tell you what, every time I did it with the Lord, it was blessed. Every time I did it without the Lord, well, praise the Lord, it wasn't very good. But I want to read this to you in the Amplified. Therefore, my dear ones, as you have always obeyed my suggestions, so now, not only with the enthusiasm you would show in my presence, see, because it's easy to get excited about it in somebody's presence when the preacher's preaching about it, when you're talking with it. It's easy to be Christian when you can talk about your Christianese with your other Christian pals. But it's another thing to live it, isn't it? Praise the Lord. With enthusiasm you would show in my presence, but much more because I am absent, work out, cultivate, carry out to the goal, and fully complete your own salvation with reverence and awe and trembling, self-distrust, with serious caution, tenderness of conscience, watchfulness against temptation, timidly shrinking from whatever might offend God and discredit the name of Christ. Oh, I love that. Man, if we could just get more Christians to do that. To think that what they do offends God in the name of Christ. It makes Christ look foolish when Christians bicker back and forth. When Christians get on Facebook and they argue doctrine back and forth. All they are doing is showing the world what foolishness their faith is. Instead of sitting behind closed doors, I have had churches that have come against me because I preach something knowing nothing about who I am or what I preach. The pastor has never talked about me, but will tell his congregation that we are evil, that we are not doing the right things. And the whole time, we're preaching the very word that they profess to preach as well. But they don't take the time to know. See, people will make judgments. Christians are some of the most judgmental people in the world sometimes. But it's religious spirits that cause that to happen. It's because they would rather listen to their own mind. And this is what this is talking about. Self-distrust. Watchfulness against temptation. Timidly shrinking away from whatever might offend God and discredit the name of Christ. Verse 13, not in your own strength. For it is God who is all the while effectively at work in you. Energizing and creating in you the power and desire. Both to will and to work for his good. Good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. Praise God. God wants to work in us. But we have to enter that salvation. We have to decide that we're going to be part of that salvation. That we are going to live that salvation today. We are going to live in what God has created for us. Amen. I'm going to close with this. Deuteronomy 21. Now it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. He will set you high above. And I encourage you, brothers and sisters in Christ, take time to go into the rest of the chapter and read about that. Because like I said, up to verse like 14, he talks about all the blessings that will come on you for listening to him. But after verse 14, he goes into all the curses that come upon you for not listening to him. And I'm going to tell you right now, those curses aren't coming on you because God's putting them on you. You're putting them on yourself. Let's listen to God. Let's follow God. Let's enter that salvation daily. Let's decide to be partakers of what Christ paid for and be blessed in the land of the living. Amen.